Ryan eased open the door, and they moved through in single file.
This place is huge. What is it used for? Parades or storage or something?
Not used for anything.
Shard stroked his rifle as if it were a rabbit's foot. Mildred pointed to the walls.
Look there! Those faded numbers painted on the walls. That's the Dewey Decimal System.
This was a library. Where are all the books now?
Shard stared blankly.
Books?
White-faced and sweaty, Ryan stumbled a bit, holding his side tightly. Mildred moved closer and gave him a shoulder for support. He said nothing, but accepted the assistance.
Mildred, why would the kitchen be near the kennels? To feed the dogs?
Yes, but they also probably eat the dogs when they die.
Well, of course! Roast dog is fine!
Which way to the kitchen?
Christie scanned the distant walls for possible enemies.
To the right, but the back gate is to the left.
What's ahead?
That leads to the ward's private quarters.
Don't want to go there.
JB made a face. Turning their backs on the door to the outside, they traveled deeper into the rapidly awakening prison. Reaching an intersection, they retreated while a group of armed guards passed by, marching in formation. Turning the corner, Ryan encountered a Sekhmet at a table assembling his blaster while drinking coffee. He left the body slumped over the table, head cradled in crossed arms, as if the dead man were merely asleep.
Won't fool a sergeant of the guards.
If they have one.
Ryan shook his head to focus his vision.
Doubt it. These folks rely too much on intimidation.
Indeed. The guards are so positive that we are terrified of them. They assume that we would escape as quickly as possible via the shortest route.
Psst, sloppy.
I would have caught us long ago.
Cutting through a storage room, then creeping down a flight of stairs past what smelled like a brewery, the companions froze as they spotted some slaves in gray rags, listlessly mopping the floor. Ryan asked Shard a silent question.
They won't report us. That would involve meeting with the ward. A pleasure few survive.
No reward for helping to capture intruders?
No.
Stoop.
Staying on the far side of the hallway, the companions moved past the workers quickly. The men and women bowed their heads, refusing to even look at the armed people walking in their midst. A locked door barred their progress for only a few moments. Then they were inside a plush room of tapestries and carpeting. Sumptuous chairs, expertly patched in places, stood before a cold fireplace. A curtained alcove lay beneath a raised balcony, and suits of old armor lined the walls in brickwork niches. It was a perfect place for an ambush, and Carter's instincts flared. Shard started walking faster.
Just down there. Only a bit more.
Ryan leaned against the wall.
Jack, shake the bushes.
The rest assumed combat positions as the teenager grabbed a chair and threw it. The crude wooden projectile hit the embroidered curtain, ripping it from the traverse rod and exposing three men in suits of armor, swords in their gauntlets.
There they are!
At the cry, more men with crossbows popped up over the balcony on the second floor. Aiming at the armored Sekhmet, JB cut loose with the Thompson, but the .22 caliber rounds bounced off the thick medieval armor. Mildred and Doc fired their .38 caliber revolvers, the bullets denting chest plates and making the Sekhmet stumble back a step. A flurry of arrows hit the furniture around them as an older man with chevrons on his tunic called out for them to surrender. In response, JB hosed the balcony with a stream of .22 caliber rounds, killing most of the archers. Then Ryan and Christie cut loose with their Browning rifles. Neat holes appeared in the chest plates, and crimson sprayed onto the ripped curtain. The armored Sekhmet fell to the floor, pumping blood.
Plate metal armor?
Jack kicked one to make sure he was dead. He was.
Stoop. Have blasters.
Guards might not know that.
Mildred dumped her two spent shells and slid in fresh rounds.
They do now.
JB struggled with the bolt to clear a jam. The bench shell popped free.
Doc, sweep the balcony. I'll cover.
Doc went up the stairs at a bound, with blasters up and ready.
Chee. Armor.
Mildred watched Ryan.
Against unarmed slaves, these would be fearsome and deadly opponents. The Ville might be low on ammo for their blasters, and the Baron might be trying to conserve rounds.
But they got lots of black powder.
Can't use it in modern blasters. fouls the mechanisms, and it won't work in an auto fire.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Doc came down.
Clear. You got them all. Good.
Christie lifted a faceplate. The person inside was only a little older than Dean.
A child.
Tough. But take the job and you get the pay.
The unfired rifle was still in Shard's hands.
These are only trainees. New sec men. Placed here as a precaution.
Or else the guards know about the garbage chute.
Ryan pressed a hand to his damp forehead. It was so hot in here, it was becoming difficult for him to think clearly, but he was getting an awful suspicion.
Shard, have you ever been to the laundry?
No, I work in the mines.
Know anybody who has worked in the laundry? Anybody at all? Ever?
He backed away.
No, but we've all heard about the chute.
From who?
Well, I...
Christie dropped into a combat crouch.
It's a trap for runaway slaves. Dean, unlock the door. Whatever is past that curtain, we want no part of it.
Dean dashed for the door and flipped the latch. Instantly, a pack of dogs charged for the opening, their claws scrambling on the smooth stone floor. Dean slammed shut the door, almost catching one of the beasts by the tail, and shoved home the bolt, but several had gotten through. Everybody opened fire as JB triggered the Thompson, riding the chattering submachine gun in a figure-eight pattern, mowing the beasts down. The last dog in, a brutish pit bull, turned from the carnage and sprang at Dean. He frantically dodged, and the beast only sank sharp teeth into his flapping vest. As the boy scrambled for distance, the animal leaped for his throat. Dean raised both of his pistols and fired. The dog slammed into him, and they both went down in a tangle of limbs. Rolling from underneath, Dean found himself streaked with blood. The pit bull lay where it had fallen.
I got it!
Damn near.
Jack pulled a leaf-shaped knife from the dog's chest. The teenager wiped off the blade and tucked it into his belt.
Oh, you won.
Jack shrugged. Suddenly, a pounding sounded on the door.
We know you're in there! Surrender or die!
Kneeling, Christie put a single round through the door at groin level. A man shrieked, and a few seconds later, some fool put his eye to the hole. She fired again, for the expected results. Kicking aside the dead dog, Dean slid a chair under the latch as Jack snapped off a knife inside the lock.
That won't hold for long. We better move.
Ryan lurched forward, using his rifle as a cane.
Double time. Into the alcove.
We're going in?
JB tightly wound the spring feed on the cheese wheel clip of his Tommy gun.
Unless you want to try and shinny up the chimney flue.
But we know it's a trap.
And we might be the first to enter it knowing that, which gives us an edge.
The alcove proved to be a short tunnel with a high curved ceiling and no windows. An ordinary door stood at the end of the passageway, a key in the lock.
Forget that.
JB put a single .22 round into the stout door. At the impact, the door opened a crack, and axes swung out of slots in the walls, bright sparks flying as the blades glanced off each other, so tight was their passing. The axes churned the air for a while, then retracted into the walls. Experimentally, JB fired at the floor with no results. He fired again at the door and watched the blades carefully. Ryan rested against Mildred.
Very nice. Never seen anything like it before.
Sounded like it's powered by clockwork gears and springs. Maybe taken off a church tower clock? Did you hear the clacking?
Of course.
JB shouldered the Thompson.
With some explosives, we'd be through in a second. As it is, we have to run for it.
Well, at least it isn't locked.
We could don the suits of armor.
No, forget that. There's not enough to go around.
Are you insane? This is suicide.
Doc ignored the interruption.
There is a brief lag between contact and the blades.
How long?
A second, maybe one and a half.
So we have to get through instantly. Any hesitation and we're dead.
Together, then. We might need muscle just in case there's something blocking the exit.
Such as a body?
Or more guards.
The companions bunched together tightly and held their weapons very close to avoid tripping. Licking dry lips, Shard kept glancing between the door in front of them and the one behind.
Go!
Charging over the short span, the companions hit the door in a crushing pile, digging in their heels and shoving for all they were worth. The wooden portal bent under the impact, holding for one long terrible instant, and then burst open just before the swinging blades arrived. Tumbling to the floor, the friends rolled to their feet ready for battle, but they were in a desert.